Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be here with you. Too bad for you. I was hoping someone else would have been here sharing with you, and that might be what you were hoping too. And I think it's good to hear different messages from different preachers as well. So, sorry about that. You know, we've been talking about building a foundation. And a foundation is so important. You're like what we're going through with Bill and what Jackie's going through with all of this, and even the church, because we all have a heartfelt reason to really lift Bill up and to pray and Bob. We got too many Bills and Bobs. But we're not praying for Bill. We're praying for Bob. No, for Bill too. But you know, when you build, the Lord has a foundation, and we're to build upon that foundation. But it also says in there that it's going to be tried by fire. And so right now we're in the fire. So it's like God was getting us down into the believing and the trusting and building that firm foundation that can't be shaken. And then the fire comes to attack everything that we've been taught, all the things that the Lord has been placing in our heart for that solid foundation. And we've been trying to build upon it. And the Lord even telling me, teach him to believe. Folks, we've got to have faith and we've got to believe, because the fires are coming. The attacks from the enemy will come, and we got to be able to stand strong. And so I would just like to continue on the building of the foundation. In fact, everything that we do is part of building on our foundation. You know, where are we going? What are we going to be able to do? Who are we going to be able to help and reach for the Lord? We've got to have that firm foundation, which of course is Jesus Christ. But then we got to build our faith in that so that we'll be able to stand. So building a relationship with the Lord is foundational in the life of a believer. Will you pray with me as we start? Father, we just thank you for this time. And Lord, we know that fires come, trials come, situations always show up. But Lord, we know too that we can trust you, that we can stand upon your word. And Lord, that you move in our lives and in all the situations, Lord, that we face. But the main thing, Lord, is that we trust you. We believe you. We make our concerns known to you. And Lord, then we trust you with it. Father, you're so faithful. Your mercy is so great for each of us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your mercy, your love, for the faith that you have given us, that we can stand during this fiery trial. And we will come out of it smelling like roses. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in this body. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think I want to start with verse 9. And I'm going to read down to verse 13. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. according to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. So Paul here warns that the builders, the leaders, and the believers should be watchful about how they build on the foundation. You know, we can only build with truth. I hear a lot of people making up things and trying to build, and it doesn't work that way. You have to build with truth. And that is the Word of God. He uses a metaphor of different materials, talked about that, gold, silver, costly stones, and that's versus the wood, hay, and straw to illustrate the quality of work done in ministry. So the materials symbolize the quality of our work and intentions in serving God. You know, a lot of times it's not easy serving God, is it? The times that things come up, we want to go to church, we need maybe to be in fellowship with the believers, and, well, I just don't feel like going or whatever. You know, there's these little things that come up. Maybe you need to go to town and there's someone that God is going to have you meet that you need to talk to. They need you. They need your help. They need the wisdom that you have, that you think you don't have. But God does it through you. And then that way you won't get in his way. Amen? But you decide not to go. And you miss that opportunity. So I'm going to tell you, walking with God, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you've got to make a great effort. You don't know why, maybe nothing happened. Maybe there's no reason at all. But yet you made that effort. God, I did it for you. I did it for you. Whatever you want to do in my life, I'm open to you and submissive. So we have to have the right intentions in working for the Lord. Gold, silver, and precious stones represents works done with sincerity and faithfulness. And I know we're going over some of this again, but I think it's really important for us to really know. You know, we can skim over it and hear a little bit about it, but, you know, we just kind of go on to something maybe better, or that we think is better. So the precious stones and the gold and the silver really represent sincerity and faithfulness and an alignment with God's purpose and his will for our lives. And then the wood, hay, and straw symbolizes work that are of lesser value, like selfish gain, are without a true heart for God. You know, there's a lot of people I know, they go to church when they're not working, are trying to make some gains or whatever. Sometimes when there's nothing else to do or the wife makes you go. And see, that's lesser works. It's sometimes that Sometimes we fail to have the true heart for God. But anyway, the word says that we are to build with a pure and sincere heart. A true heart for God is a heart of worship. Do y'all know that? It's really a heart of worship. Because you're worshiping God for who he is and what he's done. And how you love him and all that he's made to happen in your life, that you know him. It's kind of like the woman at the well. That's in John 4, 20 and 24. I'll read that. And she meets Jesus. And of course, it said before that Jesus had to go that way. Remember that? He had to go that way. See, that's a purpose in your life. You don't know why you're doing it. There's another way you can go, another thing you can do. But Jesus felt that he had to go that way. So, of course, they went through Samaria then. And Jesus met this woman at the well. And so he began to talk with her. Of course, he found out her lifestyle and all the problems that she faced and what she was going through personally. And then in verse 20, well, in all of this, she perceived that he was a prophet. And then in verse 20, it says, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." They used to say there was only a certain place to worship, which was Jerusalem. But Jesus is saying, hey, things are going to change. Things are going to be different here. Verse 22, "You worship what you don't even know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So Jesus meets this woman. He's saying, hey, things are going to change. It's not that you have to worship in a particular place. We don't go to church and just worship God there and singing our hymns, which is important. And we do it, and there's a purpose in all of that for us. But the Lord says, it's going to be different. You're going to be able to worship God anywhere. Anywhere where you're at, you can worship God. And then he talked about how we were to worship. It says that we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So this is what I really want to talk about. This is like another building block for our foundation. This is gold and silver and precious stones that if we can get a hold of it, we're going to lay that down on our foundation. Because folks, I'm telling you, when you're going through the fire, if you know how to worship in spirit and in truth, God will move in your life, and you'll be able to stand strong and true and not be fazed. Well, I wonder if God's going to work, or I wonder if this is going to happen. Or what, you know, we're questioning, but rather we would be in a state to where we know how to really trust God. And in that trust that we end up worshiping God because of it. You know, I was looking in my Bible and I thought about it earlier, but I didn't get a hold of it. But I know there was a time in 2 Chronicles, and I think it starts in chapter 20, where it talks about the king of Jerusalem. A great army was coming against him. And there was nothing they really could do. I mean, they were just hopeless. And so they went to the Lord in prayer. And what they found out is the importance of worshiping God. And so the prophecy came down and they spoke to the people of how God was going to deliver them and that they needed to worship God in it and trust him with all of their problems and their issues, this great fire, this great trouble that came against them. And so when they opened the gates, like I think it was the next morning or something or later that day, they didn't send their greatest army out, their greatest fierce warriors and their chariots and all of that and go out and form a line to where they're going to attack. They sent worshipers out. They sent the worshipers out. You know, just like we were here today singing worship songs. If we could get a hold of what it was and how that we could worship in spirit and in truth, like God wants us to. Folks, we have the victory there. Just as they had the victory. It says that as they went out, their worshipers went out and the people just sang. They didn't even care about going to battle. Their trust was in God. And they were worshiping him because they knew his word and they worshiped him then in spirit and in truth. God, you said, God, you're our deliverer and we trust you. The battle you said is not ours, but it's yours. So we're just going to let you have the battle then. And they thought, let's just have a song service. We're just going to praise God and we're going to sing to him. And just let the enemy hear our voice as we sing to our God, whom we can trust. And so they did that, and it says immediately the Lord set ambushes for the enemy and destroyed them. God did it all. But see, a lot of times in the church and with us, we don't really understand the value of really learning to worship God. Worship him in the spirit and in truth. It's really important to do that. And as you build it on your foundation, to be able to get into the position where immediately you can get into the spirit. Because a lot of people have a hard time getting into the spirit of worship. But as God has worked with me, and that's where I was a lot with things. It was hard for me. I didn't quite understand worship. In fact, at the first church that we were at here in Michigan, you know, you always have your three or four songs. And it's like I didn't understand that much about worship. I didn't see really any value in it. I couldn't sing, you know, very good. I could make a halfway joyful noise. And that's about what it was, a bad noise. And so I see no value in it. And so if I had a long message, I'd just tell a music leader, hey, why don't you cut off a couple of songs? And they would do that. But I was almost at the place where I'm ready to just do away with music altogether and let's just get into the message. But folks, now I've come to value and to realize what this is all about. What worship is to the Lord and praise. See, most of us in church, we sing and there's like, it's just words. It's just words. It's like we can't really get into it. It's like, what are these words portraying? What are they saying? And we're singing this to the Lord. So it's really important. But it's getting an emotion into what you're doing. Folks, used to be when I'd be out playing ball or something. Let me tell you, I had some emotion. You know what I mean? I didn't just get up the bat and go, you know, let the bat lay on my shoulder and, oh, missed that one, you know? And then if I did hit it, I'd say, oh, now I got to run. You know, we got to learn to do things with enthusiasm. Is this real? Is it really working? Is worship really important? God, do you really care about this? So worshiping in the Spirit, it emphasizes the importance of our attitude and sincerity and our emotional connection to God. Man, we got to learn to get emotional towards God. Y'all know that? Man, what a wonderful, gracious, powerful, merciful God we serve. And we have a hard time getting emotional about it. See, that's what the music does and the singing and the words. It draws us into the emotional aspect of it. I'm not saying we're to be Pentecostal, you know, although that's not all bad. So it's not merely about eternal rituals or physical presence, but about engaging our hearts and spirits in genuine worship. Personal devotion. When praying or singing praises, you express your love and adoration for God from the depths of your heart. I think a lot of times of where I would be right now if it wasn't for God's mercy and for Jesus who came and the Holy Spirit that the Father gave me to work in my life and to guard me, to teach me. Where would you be? Have you ever thought about that? If it wasn't for God, where would you be? What kind of a mess would you be in? I probably wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for God. More, not even saved. Folks, we've got to really start understanding some of this. How about maybe getting into some reflective worship? During quiet moments, having quiet moments of reflection or meditation, allowing the Holy Spirit to move within you, leading you to a deeper understanding and connection with the Father. As the Lord says in verse 23, see, if you're going to worship the Father, you have to do it in spirit and in truth. You can't do it in one or the other. Don't know that? So let's talk about that. So let's explore the concepts and the distinctions. All right, so here's some difference here. Now let's look at the focus, our focus. Spirit, the Spirit, centers on the emotional. and spiritual engagement with God. The spirit centers on the emotional and spiritual engagement with God. Truth, on the other hand, centers on the accurate knowledge and adherence to God's word. Folks, we can't just worship God and not do what he asks us to do or be obedient to the word. It doesn't work. You won't feel anything. Now let's look at the natural. The spirit. The spirit involves the heart. It involves feelings. Folks, it's all right to feel. You know, sometimes I think it seems like we're afraid to feel because we don't want to get emotional. Well, maybe we need to get emotional. Folks, I think that's what we need. And represents a personal connection. Man, I want to be connected with God. I want to feel God. I want to know he's in my heart. Folks, I get to the point where I tear up. And that's how my emotions work. I can even watch, how many can watch a real touchy, nice movie on TV, and you get to the point where it makes you weep? And I do that, and I'm like, Lord, why do I do that? You know? But I do. I feel for him, and I can't help from it. I just have to use a Kleenex, and, you know, I can. But see, I want to be able to feel. There's people that don't know how to feel. They just can't feel. I want that personal connection. Now let's look at truth. Truth in the natural involves the intellect, understanding, and the doctrinal fidelity. So it involves the intellect and the understanding. Another one is expression. The spirit now, in expression, can manifest in spontaneous praise, heartfelt prayers, and emotional worship experiences. Folks, you ever get in worship at time and you get so involved and in the presence of God with feeling and knowing his love and he's all around you, that there's times I just fall on my knees. And all I can, I can't even sing, I weep for joy. God, you're so good. It's not like God's way out there and I can't touch him. But when I get into spiritual worship, he's right here. He's all around me. And a lot of the worldly things, and it just doesn't matter anymore. It's just me and God. It's his hand laying on me. It's his touch. It's his love. So the spirit can manifest in spontaneous praise and heartfelt prayers, emotional worship experiences that we can have. Now the truth is, expressed through the correct understanding of God's word in worship practices, in sermons, and in teachings. So there's a difference there. And as Jesus said, that we got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then in verse 24, it says this, but the hour is coming, well, that's 23, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then it says this, For the Father is seeking. The Father is seeking such to worship him. Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Both are essential for true worship. Now let me break it down, if I could, just a little bit more. Worshiping in the spirit without truth. A lot of people do that. What it is, it's just an emotional experience. You can go to some of these churches that are dead in the spirit, but they can have good music. How about those that go to concerts? Go to concert, man, they're banging their heads. I mean, I try that, and I guess my brains are loose because it hurts. But these people can do it for hours. And then if they're not really getting into it that much, they get some drugs and they use that because they want that emotional high. Folks, we get it free. We don't have to headbang and take drugs, and it's all free when we learn how to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So they just have an emotional experience, but disconnected from God's word. While worshiping in truth, here's the other side, they're both alone. While worshiping in truth without the spirit, it's just an empty ritual, void of heartfelt connection. Folks, it's like coming to church. Hi. How you doing? Fine. I'd rather not be here, thank you. Then you go and you sit down, and the worship service goes. Many won't sing, some might sing a little bit. They come with no feelings and they leave with no feeling. What a dry, dreary life. But folks, there's people that are like that because they don't understand. They just don't understand. God wants us to have emotions and feelings. He wants us to connect with him. Void of heartfelt connection. That's worshiping in truth without the Spirit. Now, true worship is only with both spirit and truth. So, to engage with God in true worship is this: as you worship, strive to balance both spirit and truth. As it is in this harmony that you fulfill the heart and true worship of God. Folks, that's what a quiet time is all about, too. See, you lay that foundation of worshiping God, spending your time with God, connecting as you're reading the Word. There's promises that God will share in the Word, and then just sit and just meditate on that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for caring so much. Thank you, Father, for your promises and for your word. And then I think a lot of times of all that God has already done and what he means to me and where I would be without him. And immediately I kind of enter into, it's an emotional time. And I love it. And I don't have to get up and jump on my chair and do flips and stuff, and it hurt me. And I would break something. You don't have to do that. But folks, we got to learn how to feel. You can't worship God and not feel. You can't do it. God's presence is too great. So he wants us to feel, he wants us to enter in with him and just love on him and thank him for who he is. And you're thinking of the word, God, you're so good. You make these promises. You speak to me that you're going to take care of me. And as you put both of these together in worship, I want to tell you there's such a great experience that we have with the Lord. So I want to encourage you, strive for that. Work for that. God, I pray, God, help me to enter in. And do you know, after you get that established in your life, it's so much easier to just spontaneous worship. To just be there and you just sense the presence of God in your heart. And you can just, under your breath, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Folks, that's what it's all about. That's what I want. Man, if my God was so impersonal, what a drag that would be. But I got a God that interacts with me. And sometimes when I don't even expect it, the Holy Spirit will just make things real. That I'm here with you. I love you. I haven't left you. Come on, let's go together. And he's my encouragement. Folks, those that don't know how to worship in spirit and in truth, you're missing it. You can still be a good person, but you're missing it. This is something you need to really add to your foundation. See, that's what Jackie was talking about when she gave the testimony, how she began to speak in tongues. See, a lot of people are against that. But folks, don't you understand? God gives us sometimes a language because we don't know. Did you know a lot of times we don't even know what we want or what we need? We just know we need something. And then we don't know how to pray for it. And so a lot of times I'll pray in tongues. And she said, Jackie said, it was like a blanket that was over her. And then the fever broke. With Bob, and then the nurses came in and wiped him all down. And the Holy Spirit saying, I sent him here. Folks, this is how we have a relationship. This is how God works in our lives. Yes, we hurt and everything, but there's times that we can just get into the presence of God and let him minister to us. And then you know what the Corinthian church did when they came together in a group, what they did is they were sharing all the blessings God was doing in their lives. They all had testimonies. So we're talking spiritual, and there's a lot of people that don't understand that, and I feel sorry for them that don't. But if you don't, if you've never experienced it and you don't know how to do it, you really need to pray about it and seek after that. It's important. I think it's a God requirement. So as you consider God's call of worshipers, remember that coming to him in humility, acknowledging his greatness and expressing your love through your life is a beautiful way to fulfill this desire. The Father invites us to draw near to him. And in return, he promises really to draw near to us. That's in James 4. Our heartfelt worship, whether expressed in prayer, song, service, our obedience is precious to him. Let us therefore, or let therefore, those who actively seek to worship God and discovering the joy and the fulfillment that comes from being in his presence. You know, I've had people say before, well, I didn't get much out of that message. You know? And I've said to them, I said, well, I got a lot out of it. See, because I put my heart into it. I'm expressing what I feel and what God has shared with me. So it doesn't matter really what you feel, whether you liked it or not, it's okay. I got something out of it because God gave it to me. And those of you that want something yourselves, we'll glean from it and take what you need from that to make it be real in your life so that you get something out of it. Amen? And I know with me it takes a lot of that, but that's okay. You know, God loves you and I love you, and like they say in Carrick's, that's just the way it is. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. Father, help us to feel your presence and your understanding, your love. Father, as your word penetrates our lives and our hearts, and Lord, as we believe your word, Father, just touch our lives. Draw us close to you. Help us to experience and to know how to worship in spirit and in truth, that we can touch your heart and, Lord, how you touch our heart through it. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read this over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor, give you his peace. So be it. Amen. God bless.